The youth will now start by saying our testimonies. So I just want to say thank you for the opportunity for letting us go to Resurrection. It was great. We had a whole bunch of fun, and I think I'm done.
Okay, thank you all for letting us go. It was a bunch of fun, even though we were snowed in for 2 days. We had good food. And, I mean, we sled down the hill. We still got to watch a lot of the sessions because Bonnie streamed it for us. And it was just a lot of fun. The cabin was so nice. It still had Christmas decorations, which I loved. It was just fun. So thank you all.
I would just like to thank all of you for allowing us to go and letting us have that experience. It was a lot of fun. We loved building Chris Tomlin. And the message was really good this year. And even though the weather was kind of spotty sometimes, we still had a lot of fun.
Thank you for letting us go and go that extra night. And we had a lot of fun. And the Cedar Harmonic showed up unexpectedly, which was really cool. And Chris Tomlin was really good. So thank you.
I've been several times to Resurrection, as you all know. And the longer I get to go, the more I become an adult. And an adult in these children's eyes, which is really weird to put me different from them because I am so close in age. But I have absolutely enjoyed watching them grow and watching them grow in faith. And seeing them worship is incredible. When Chris Tomlin, you could tell that it was getting hot, you know, it was thumping. And it was getting ready to go down. Chris Tomlin was getting ready to show up. And I looked at him, I said, "Who's going?" And they're like, "Yeah, let's go." You know, so I'm like one of the older ones down there in the front, jamming with these kids and worshiping our Lord with all of our hearts. And it's just, I couldn't thank you enough for believing in me to help my mother lead these youth. It means the world to me. So thank you.
Hello, guys. Well, thank you for letting us go an extra night. An extra night. It got pretty bad. Like Heather said, we sled. We had to ask people to borrow some so we could get down there and not go stomach first. But it was a very good experience. We took someone new today, Zach, which he felt something that day, so it was something that was good. Thank you, guys.
Good morning. Just want to say that it was an interesting year for me, and we didn't have to do any fundraisers, and I'm grateful to you for that because I'm not sure I could have gotten through a summer full of fundraisers. So thank you for allowing the kids to go and, you know, being supportive, financially supportive enough that we could go, and then, you know, stepping up and giving us that extra night was wonderful because we wouldn't have gotten there had we waited the extra day. So, you know, being able to go the night before was extremely helpful to us. The kids had a great time. You know, every time I'm with a group of kids and we funnel through here and you get 3 years with them and then they're gone, and you think, you know, that first group, I thought, you know, I can never love another group like I love this group, and I'll never have these bonds and these relationships. But then this next group comes through, and it takes us about 1 year to get used to each other and learn, you know, about each other. And then you think, well, there's no way I can love the next group as much as I love this one. So each group brings a lot to the table, and this group is I just don't think I can love the next group like I love you guys, but I know that will happen. You're a very special group of kids. I take you anywhere in the world. We had 4 days out there together, all penned up in a cabin, and there wasn't a crossword. There was tons of laughter and sharing and game playing and fellowshipping and piling up on the couch and watching the session that we were able to stream. You know, in on Saturday, we were kind of getting depressed and thought we weren't going to get there at all. And, you know, it was kind of neat to lead study in my pajamas. And that was pretty cool, to a bunch of kids sitting in their pajamas. But it was warm, and it was wonderful. And I just thank you so much for allowing us this opportunity every January. It's a huge thing for the kids. Excuse me, and it's also huge for me. It's something I look forward to. Just take a moment. Veronica, you were wonderful. You're always wonderful. She's a kitchen wizard, as we all know, and she keeps things flowing in the kitchen. The kids are never hungry. She just keeps it coming, and we just keep eating it as long as she fixes it. And we really appreciate you and all you do for us in this group, and thank you for being a part of the youth team. John, there were times, I know you did not want to go off that mountain, but you did because I asked you to, and that means a lot. There was times when we probably, it was a little iffy, you know, and John was a little nervous about it, but he got us off the mountain, and we got to see the last two sessions live, which were wonderful. And, you know, we came off that mountain, got to the session, and Chris Tomlin played God's Great Dance Floor. And I know you have no clue what that is, but it's a pretty crazy song, and everybody gets a little crazy. And when you look back and you see Noah on John's shoulders dancing and, you know, getting with it, it's wonderful. And, you know, when we got back to the cabin, one thing, Noah came to me and he goes, "Did you see me on my dad's shoulders?" You know, they had a moment, and it was wonderful, and it's something that Noah will never forget, and you made that memory for him, so it was worth coming off that mountain for, just for that one memory. Debbie was there with us. She had her four-wheel drive, which got us off and on the mountain to the bus, which was wonderful, so we appreciate that. Daniel, you're great in fellowship. You're always on top of the media. When she said, "I streamed it in," I didn't. Daniel figured that out and got it streamed in, him and Luis. We had enough electronics in that cabin to open up a small Radio Shack, so there was no reason we couldn't get that figured out. So we were able to get that figured out. And then when we came back, you know, there was always the feeling of doom and gloom, what we were going to come back to. It had, you all had underwent a massive storm that we didn't. We only had 4 inches. We didn't know what we were going to come back to. And I knew in my heart that when we pulled into this church, Guy Sepfin would be waiting on us. And he was. And he had us all dug out. And he had our cars dug out. He had the sidewalks dug out. And the crowd just came and helped, I think, helped Guy get that accomplished. So, you know, having you love us enough to think about us when we came home and what we would be facing was wonderful, and we appreciate that, Guy and Eric and Lisa. Then I thought, you know, how am I going to get in my driveway? There's 18 inches of snow in my driveway. And when I get home, my driveway is completely shoveled out. Debbie's husband had came the day before when the snow stopped and shoveled out my driveway. So I was able just to whip right in and unload and get on with it and get to work the next morning. So lots of things came together for this to happen for us. We thank you, and we thank you for loving us when we got home. It was a great experience. At this time, Noah and Hannah are going to come read God's love letter to you, and it's from Genesis to Revelations. And when you think about the time and effort that had to have went into preparing this love letter, it's just amazing. So be sure to listen to Noah as he runs through God's love letter to us.
You may not know me, but I know everything about you.
Psalms 139:1.
I know when you sit down and when you rise up.
Psalms 139:2.
I am familiar with all your ways.
Psalms 139:3.
Even the very hairs on your head are numbered.
Matthew 10:29-31.
For you were made in my image.
Genesis 1:27.
In me you live and move and have your being.
Acts 17:28.
For you are my offspring.
Acts 17:28.
I knew you even before you were conceived.
Jeremiah 1:4-5.
I chose you when I planned creation.
Ephesians 1:11-12.
You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book.
Psalms 139:15-16.
I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live.
Acts 17:26.
You are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Psalms 139:14.
I knit you together in your mother's womb.
Psalms 139:13.
And brought you forth on the day you were born.
Psalms 71:6.
I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me.
John 8:41-44.
I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love.
1 John 4:16.
And it is my desire to lavish my love on you.
1 John 3:1.
Simply because you are my child and I am your father.
1 John 3:1.
I offer you more than your earthly father ever could.
Matthew 7:11.
For I am the perfect father.
Matthew 5:48.
Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand.
James 1:17.
For I am your provider and I meet all your needs.
Matthew 6:31-33.
My plan for your future has always been filled with hope.
Jeremiah 29:11.
Because I love you with an everlasting love.
Jeremiah 31:3.
My thoughts towards you are countless as the sand on the seashore.
Psalms 139:17-18.
And I rejoice over you with singing.
Zephaniah 3:17.
I will never stop doing good to you.
Jeremiah 32:40.
For you are my treasured possession.
Exodus 19:5.
I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul.
Jeremiah 32:41.
And I want to show you great and marvelous things.
Jeremiah 33:3.
If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me.
Deuteronomy 4:29.
Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart.
Psalms 37:4.
For it is I who gave you those desires.
Philippians 2:13.
I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine.
Ephesians 3:20.
For I am your greatest encourager.
2 Thessalonians 2:16-17.
I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles.
2 Corinthians 1:3-4.
When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you.
Psalms 34:18.
As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart.
Isaiah 40:11.
One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes.
Revelation 21:3-4.
And I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth.
Revelation 21:3-4.
I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son, Jesus.
John 17:23.
For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed.
John 17:26.
He is the exact representation of my being.
Hebrews 1:3.
He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you.
Romans 8:31.
And to tell you that I am not counting your sins.
2 Corinthians 5:18-19.
Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled.
2 Corinthians 5:18-19.
His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you.
1 John 4:10.
I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love.
Romans 8:31-32.
If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me.
1 John 2:32.
And nothing will ever separate you from my love again.
Romans 8:38-39.
Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen.
Luke 15:7.
I have always been Father and always will be Father.
Ephesians 3:14-15.
My question is, will you be my child?
John 1:12-13.
I am waiting for you.
Luke 15:11-32.
Love, your dad, Almighty God.
that. I'm going to be reading from the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all of God's secret plans and possessed all the knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance.
This is a challenge for us today. Good morning. Today is Sweethearts Day. The definition of sweetheart, according to Webster's Dictionary, is someone who is kind-hearted, who's nice, who's sweet, who is a great person, who is lovely to be around, and someone who's just a great friend. Everybody wants to be somebody's sweetheart. So let's take a quick moment and turn and look at the person next to us, in front of us, behind us, and tell them, you're a sweetheart. You are too. I'm fuzzled. Okay. When Jan and I were discussing the date for Youth Sunday, which is typically the second Sunday in February, I realized fairly quickly that this was going to be Valentine's Day. And as we're realizing that, this feeling of doom and gloom began to sweep over me as she was making notes in her church calendar. And she was just as busy as can be. This is going to be wonderful. You know, the youth are going to sing, they're going to do the offertory. And she was just going on and on about all of the wonderful things. All the while, I'm having one of those moments where you can vaguely hear what the person's saying, and it's kind of like you're off in the distance because your brain's having a conversation with itself. And I'm going, well, this sure proves God has a sense of humor. How am I going to get through this? You know, and then I snap back to reality just in time to hear Jan say, this is going to be so wonderful. We're just so blessed. And you can just hear her saying that. Yeah, well, I really struggled with this, speaking on Valentine's Day, so much so that I couldn't prepare anything. I was so focused on myself that I couldn't focus on you. And I knew I needed to get some sort of message down on paper so I could stand here today in front of you and speak it. And I was so consumed with my own thoughts and feelings about this, I was blank. I had nothing. In fact, I couldn't come up with anything. And it wasn't until I went to lunch with a friend, a good friend of mine, and I was telling her how uncomfortable this was making me. And she said to me, Bonnie, you're right where you need to be. You're right where God wants you on this thing. And what makes you think that He wants you comfortable? He can't use you unless you're uncomfortable. I want you to let go, let God, suck up this pity that you're having for yourself, and get on with your Father's business. So I went home, and I picked up a copy of the best love story ever written, and I opened it to one of my favorite verses about love, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. And that's just one of the verses of the focus scripture that Katie read you. So, today, I'm going to talk to you on the subject of love. You know, I think when you think about love, we have to settle down for a few minutes and think about what love really is. Because honestly, it's a word we throw around a lot. We love our dog, we love ice cream, we love God. But what we really need to understand is they mean different things. And understand those are very different kinds of love. There are many different kinds of love. There's a love for a friend. Jesus asked Peter 3 times, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And each time when Peter said yes, Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Now, I believe in essence, what he was really saying here is just help somebody. Tell people about me. And if we really think, if we really love God, then we're going to want to help somebody. So love is just not a theory. It's just not a message. It's not a word that we just throw around. Love is actually something that can be seen, and it can be felt, and it can be given, and it can be withheld. And if you really stop and think about it, what does everybody in the world want except to be loved and accepted? Even when you think about a lot of the things that people buy or what they do or even climbing the ladder of success, so much of it is about feeling worth and value and wanting to be loved, wanting to be accepted. And often we try to gain acceptance through what we do. But God gives his acceptance as a free gift by his grace. He loves us, and he wants to give us better lives than what we have. And he wants to come and live inside of his people and then work through them to bring that same kind of love to people. In referencing the scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, If I can speak all of the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. The kind of love we're talking about here is God's love in us and for us. It's just not the kind of love that the world might think is love. It's not just the, oh, I love my dog, I love my ice cream, and I love you too. This is God's love in us and for us. And I don't really think God expects us to give away what we don't have. I mean, it would be ridiculous for us to expect people to give us something that they don't have or have no way of getting. So he first loves us, and we love him because he first loved us. He loves us freely and unconditionally forever. Now let's think about that. There's never been a moment in our lives that God didn't love us. He's never had one bad thought about you, ever. Love always believes the best, and he believes the best in us. Love's not just something that God does, and then he doesn't do, and then he does, and then he doesn't do. It's not something that he turns on and off based on our behavior, like we experience with human love. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our goal was just to be a body full of love, walking around, just being a blessing every single place we go every day. The scripture says again, if I could speak all of the languages of the earth and of the angels, but I didn't love, the love that first comes from God loving me, then all I am is a big noise. All I am is a big noise. Verse 2, if I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I'd be nothing. There's a lot of emphasis placed on knowledge these days and what we know. Well, let me tell you what I know. Or let me tell you what I can do because of what I know. You know, if I know more than you, then I'm really more important than you. But Paul is saying here, you can know everything. You can understand all mysteries and all secrets, and you can have so much faith that you can move a mountain. But if you don't love others, then you're nothing. You're a useless nobody. So we might have to start, we might have started out feeling pretty good about ourselves, but now we're getting down to the, well, how much do I really love people? And how selfish am I? How much of myself have I said goodbye to, and how much of am I really living for God and other people? Verse 3. If I give everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. So you really can't say somebody loves you just because they give you something or they do something for you. Or we could go and feed the hungry, but that wouldn't mean we were doing any love. Because we can and often do good things just to be well thought of, or to be seen, or to be noticed. And I think sometimes we do good things just so we can feel good about ourselves. I know people who have done not good things in previous years of their lives, but in later years did all sorts of good things, what we would consider good things, but for all the wrong reasons, sort of their way of making themselves feel better, kind of a way of making up for their past life. And that's not really love, because true love, and this is the hard part to get, true love has nothing to do with getting. It only has to do with giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So he gave his only and his very best gift out of love. And he didn't do it for himself. He did it for us. He did it for people who had no hope of having any kind of life or spending eternity with him. And had he not given the very best that he had, where would we be? Now, the next few verses are like facets of love. The kind of like a diamond ring has facets. And you can look at a diamond ring from different angles and see many different facets. So it's like you're seeing something beautiful about it, each one, but from a different angle. It's not enough to just go out and say, I love you, or wear a necklace with a cross on it, or a bumper sticker that says, Jesus loves you. We could actually never use the word love and still show it to everybody we get near, because there are facets of it. And those facets that I'm talking about are found in the next few verses. Love is patient and kind. And if I'm going to be honest with myself and say to myself, okay, Bonnie, how patient are you? I can tell you I'm better at this than I used to be. But if I'm being honest with myself, this is one of my biggest weaknesses. I want it now. don't let me have to ask you twice for it. And although I'm not where I need to be, I'm not where I used to be, thank God. In preparing this, I realized this was good for me because I need to be more patient with people. This usually means that I'm going to have to put up with something a little longer than I want. And if I'm trying to teach my kids something and they don't get it as quick as I want them to, and I have to tell them twice, sometimes three times, and maybe 20 times, but when they get it, boy, it's awesome. How many of us are glad today that God doesn't give up on us? And he was patient, and he said, well, we'll do that again. And we'll do it again, and again and again. But what's our attitude? Surely, I don't have to tell you that again. And if you're the type of person who readily gets things, and you learn really fast, well, that's a gift God has given you. So we shouldn't think really highly of ourselves and look down on other people just because everything I can do good, but I can only do that good by the grace of God. When I have a weakness, and I have a lot of weaknesses, I really want people to be patient with me. Luke 6:31 tells us, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, what would happen in society if everybody went out into the world and treated other people the way they want to be treated? If we were to do this, treat other people the way we want to be treated, imagine God's presence in our lives. Well, we would be anointed. Love is kind. And the world sure could use more kindness, couldn't it? Now, what does being kind mean? Well, being kind means just be nice. Kindness is always giving, usually something that's undeserved. And if I deserve the good act that someone does for me, then it's not kindness. If I've earned it and I deserve it, then don't call it kindness. Love is never envious, and that boils down to jealousy, and that's tough. It's difficult to look at anybody that's got more than we have, or somebody that has something that we want and we have never been able to get it, and it's especially hard if we think we deserve it more than they do. And then you've just added judgment to your jealousy, of your sin of jealousy. Bottom line here is, it's really none of our business what God does with anyone else. It's not up to us to judge whether they deserve it or not, because only God knows people's hearts. What we're talking about here today is not whether we feel it, because of all the things love is not a feeling. Although it can be felt, we don't have to feel it to give it away. We don't have to feel it to give it away. When we give it away, someone else is always going to feel it. And if we don't give it away, they will always feel that too. But we don't have to feel it to give it. So by an act of our free will, we choose to do God's will, and then God provides the strength, the ability, and ultimately the feelings. And ultimately, they may not feel it right away. You may have to love on somebody for a long time before they feel it, and before you feel it. You might have to treat someone right for a very long time before they get around to treating you right. And that's big, isn't it? Because they may never, ever treat you right. But you still treat them right because it's right. Because remember, love is never about trying to get anything. If I'm only treating someone right just to get them to treat me right, then I'm still not really doing it in love. I'm really only doing it to get something. And that's hard. Love is not boastful or proud or rude. Love is not about pride or giving my glowing report of success. We don't want to give anything to anyone that's going to make them feel bad. For example, and hypothetically speaking, if I met someone who feels bad about themselves for not getting to go to high school, then I don't need to tell them that I have 3 degrees. I just need to love on them and tell them that they're great and that they're awesome, and I don't have to tell them how good I am. Another example is probably not the best idea to have someone come up to you with the flu that's coughing and hacking and sneezing and just feeling terrible for me to say, you know what? I had that last week, but I prayed and God healed me. You know, it's probably a better idea that I just pray with that person for their healing. And sometimes I wonder as Christians, do we really have the best intentions when we help someone, or do we take that as an opportunity to do a little bragging and make ourselves feel a little bit better? Love does not demand its own way. And I don't know about you, but I do pretty good right up until I don't get my way. But can I not get my way and trust God and be just as happy as I would had I gotten my way? Or what about being right? If I had some of the foolish arguments, the most foolish arguments I've ever had, just trying to prove I was right about something that didn't even matter. It's just our own brand of insecurity that we feel better about ourselves when we're right. And of course, there's a time to stand up for what is right. But a lot of the stuff that we make big issues over, we all know really aren't that important at all. Love is not irritable. It keeps no record of wrongdoing. And did I just say that? It keeps no record of wrongdoing. It does not rejoice about injustices, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. And you know, there's been times when the kids would do something that was wrong or not in accordance to the house rules, and I would say to them, let's talk about it. Let's get this behind us. You'll learn a lesson from this, and it will never be discussed again. Only to find myself at a later date, sometimes years later, bringing it up to them again. There's a Garth Brooks song called We Bury the Hatchet. And for the first few lines of this song, they go something like this. We're always fighting about things that should be dead and gone. We bury the hatchet, but we leave the handle sticking out. Are any of us guilty of that, burying the hatchet, but leaving the handle sticking out? Part of forgiveness is letting go. And that brings us to my favorite verse. The verse that led me to this passage on Valentine's Day, verse 7. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love never gives up. No matter what, it doesn't come and go. It's not the flavor of the month. It's not something that sparkles, and it's not the next best thing. And when it gets tough, it's still there. Never giving up. Love never loses faith. Love always encourages and is not suspicious. Even when times seem the toughest and the most challenging, someone to say, you're great. You can do this. I have faith in you. You're awesome. You're something. And I'm proud of you. Building up, not tearing down. Love is always hopeful. If we lived every day with no hope of tomorrow, what would be the point in living today? what would we have to look forward to? Love is what makes us hopeful and purposeful for tomorrow, and what makes us look forward to tomorrow. Love endures through every circumstance. It endures through the tough times and celebrates the victories. It forgives the big and the little. Love stands on a strong foundation that is built to withstand any storm, and it endures every circumstance. When I shared my thoughts about this verse with a friend, I told him, "I'm just a sappy girl who still believes in true love." And the girls will probably get this message because it's the way we're cut. You know, God gave us that nurturing love. But will the guys feel like they're at a 20-minute chick flick? And he said, "Bonnie, that's spot on, and they will enjoy it, I know." Always the encourager. It's about building each other up and not tearing each other down. This passage of Scripture is part of Paul's letter to the Church of Corinth and Christians everywhere. Church isn't four walls, and it isn't a beautiful building such as this one. We are the church. Amen. And if we really want to put a smile on God's face, the best way to do this is to do this every day before we go out and be a part of any sort of humanity, whether it's our family or our coworkers or our neighbors or the folks down at Walmart. The best thing to do is take a little bit of time letting God love on you and making time to say something maybe like this. Will you pray with me? God, I receive your love by faith. I know I'm not always lovable, but I am grateful you love me, and I love you in return. And because of you, I can even love myself. Not in a selfish way, but in a healthy way. And my goal when I go out today, God, if you will help me and give me grace, is to love everybody that I see, whether they deserve it or not. I want to be like you. And everybody that I come near today, I want them to feel better about themselves, and I want to make that happen for them. And I want to lift them up and not tear them down, and be understanding and be forgiving and humble myself before you. Because if I don't have your love in me, I can't give that love to someone else. And love is about giving, not getting. So, Lord, help me be more like you. Amen.